morning, everyone. You can be seated this morning. Thanks for being here. If you're watching us online today, wherever you are, we're glad you're joining us here for the 10:30 service. Lake Norton Church, God bless you guys as well. All right, would you pray with me this morning? God, thank you for the power of your word, for the Bible, for its truth. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, as you are here, that you would open all of our hearts. You'd give us ears to hear what you might be saying to us. Give us a heart of understanding that we could apply your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. One last thing. If you are being baptized or you are participating in baptisms this afternoon, there's a mandatory meeting immediately following this service in our Oakwood Chapel, which if you exit either one of these doors and keep kind of going south, you'll find it down there. You need to get your t-shirt and some final instructions, so make sure you do that after the service. So if you have your Bibles, hardcover Bibles, softcover Bibles, or Bibles on app, would you hold that up for me so I can see? We're trying to encourage people to bring their Bibles and read along with me. So turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We've just got a few more weeks of this series in Philippians. It's called A Life to Die For. So when you find Philippians chapter 3, stick your bulletin or something in there, and we'll get to that in just a second. There's a scene in the movie Pawn Sacrifice, which is the story of Bobby Fischer, the world American chess champion, when he's a child and he's just learning to play. In this scene, he's beaten by a prominent adult chess player in New York. And as he loses this match, he chooses not to quit, but he chooses to respond with resilience. Take a look.
Bobby, choose. Let's see what we got here, eh?
Most young people don't have the concentration to play at a high level, so please, don't get your hopes up.
He's beaten everyone he's ever played.
Okay. It's your move. Do you like baseball, Bobby? Eh? Jackie Robinson, Pee Wee Reese. Mm-hmm.
Bobby, have you ever been to the moon on the subway?
Mm-hmm.
If I take the pieces away, he just keeps playing in his head day and night. Took him to a shrink. He said to come here.
Well, his game is good. Not exceptional, though. To move like this.
He taught himself.
Bobby, shall we call it a draw?
He hates draws.
Check. Mate. Officially the 25th best chess player in New York City, I can tell you he has great potential.
Again.
See, that's what I'm talking about. How do you handle failure? How do you handle adversity? How do you handle difficulty and challenges in life? By saying, I'm done, I quit, it's over? Or do you say, again, I'm ready for more. I'm going to keep doing this and pushing through the challenges that I'm facing. See, our culture has lost the values of resilience and perseverance. We move from one thing to the next with very little regard for something called commitment. People rarely push through when things get tough or see things through until the end. Tenacity is nearly extinct in our culture. We change jobs more frequently than ever in our history. Marriage gets hard, and we back off or out on our commitment. We commit to exercise programs, and they get hard, and we stop. We diet to lose weight, but it gets inconvenient. So we go back to Mountain Dew and French fries. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We commit to treatment and alcohol and drug addiction, but temptation pulls us back into a lifestyle of destruction. For some of us, we get a biblical conviction about something. We hear something or read something in Scripture, and we realize we should probably do that. Something like, you know, being generous financially or giving financially, and we say, I know I need to give more to God's work, and so we make that initial commitment, and then money gets really tight. Something changes in our work or something, and there's not as much coming in, so what do? We stop. Now that's the last place that we give our money. It's the rare parent today that teaches their children the importance of resilience and perseverance in life. Often, in my observation of families, parents don't require their children to finish their commitments, but often they let them off the hook when things get tough, when schedules change, or something becomes inconvenient for your child. They don't want to do it anymore, and oftentimes we just let them off the hook. My question, mom and dad, is, how are they going to handle adversity later in life with things that are way more important than a sports team? How are they going to handle adversity in the workplace? How are they going to handle adversity in marriage? How are they going to handle adversity with health issues? If we're constantly letting them off the hook because things just get difficult in life. So as a high school basketball coach, I usually carried 12 guys on my team. And we finished every practice that I can ever remember shooting free throws. Free throws are really important in basketball. They're like cheap points. They're like easy points. And a lot of teams don't work on them. A lot of teams suffer because they don't get those cheap points. And so we didn't practice by having each player on my team shoot 2 free throws, 24 total. And I would pick a number that we had to make out of 24 or we'd ran. I'd usually start high, like 17. Got to make 17 out of 24 free throws. And if they made it, we didn't run. If they got less than 17, then we would run. And then I'd drop it. But after we'd run 2 or 3 times, I'd drop it down to 16. Okay, let's get 16. I always had my baseline. I never just said, it's going to get down to 3, and let's hope you can make 3, right? So we'd end at about 14. And after about 16, I would run with them, okay? I'd just get on the line with them and run. And pretty soon I'm saying, can any of you girls please make a free throw so I don't have to run anymore? And I never let them off the hook. And they'd whine and complain about the whole thing. Coach, this is dumb. I said, no, it's not dumb, because you know what? We're going to get into a game and you're going to be tired and you're going to say this is dumb. You're going to say, I want to quit. You're going to feel like cashing it in. And we're going to need you to make 2 free throws when you feel like that. If you don't learn it now, you're not going to do it in the game. So I didn't let them off the hook, and we hopefully shot pretty good free throws. What about with God and spiritual stuff, stuff that really matters in life? How many people of you know that have shown interest in God when life got tough, when life was putting the squeeze on them and they began to attend church? And then things got a little bit straightened out and they no longer attended church. They didn't care anymore. What happened? What happened to that commitment? Or they go to church when life is good, but then life stinks. Something changes for the worse. Something goes south. They hit a rough patch, and they're not around anymore. We're going to talk today about a life of perseverance, because I want you to know that in almost anything in life, there's joy when we cross the finish line. You know what I'm talking about? There's joy with seeing something through and crossing the finish line. I love track now because of my wife, Shirlene. She was a girls' high school track coach for a number of years in Northern Illinois. And she was a great coach, and she taught these girls some really cool lessons. They were a small Christian school, and they would running these invitationals with big public high schools, and they never won. It was never about winning, getting enough points for their team to win. It was always about her girls getting PRs, personal bests in time, and those kinds of things. So they would leave that feeling really good about themselves. But inevitably, there's this distance race toward the end of the meet, whether it's the mile or the 2 mile, it doesn't matter. And they'd run the race, and the race would be totally over. The track meet would have gone on to 2 or 3 other events, and there's still one of her girls still running. Still out there running. Hadn't finished it yet. Everyone else had gone on to something else. And I just watched Shirlene running the infield, running around with that girl, clap and cheer, and you can do this. You got this. Come on. You're on a good pace right now. And that girl would see it through inevitably to the end and cross the finish line. And the look on her face when she crossed the finish line was amazing. What an incredible lesson my wife taught these young girls about the value of finishing stuff that you start. Don't compare yourself to other people. Don't compare yourself to the other runners. This is your race. Run it hard. Run it to the best of your ability. Don't quit. Don't stop. See it through to the finish line. And when they did, they felt like $1 million. In our text today, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul compares the Christian life to running a race. And he says this, you can't stop running. You can't quit the race. See, following Jesus Christ is a lifelong commitment, amen? It's a race that you never stop running. Here's what I want you to walk away with today. We run God's race every day as believers. We run God's race every day. No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter what your life circumstances are, the race is never over until you die or Jesus comes back. My dad was 88 years old when he died this past January. And the last year or two of his life, he really couldn't walk much. He was pretty much bedridden. He could get out of bed and go into the living room and sit on a chair for a while, but in the last days, he was pretty much confined to a bed. And I'd go and visit as often as I could, and they had taken the door off of his bedroom door so that he had easier access, and my mom could hear him if she was in the living room and he needed her. And I would walk through the house sometimes at night, sometimes during the day, and just kind of, you know, listen to see what was going on. And I'd hear him talking a lot. And I'd stop at the door and I'd listen. And he wasn't talking, he was praying. And I'd hear my name mentioned. And I'd hear my wife Shirlene's name mentioned. And I'd hear my kids' names mentioned. I'd hear mom mentioned. I hear my sister and her family mentioned. I'd hear him praying for all of his friends. How many of you know that the race is never over? You never stop running this Christian race. Dad was a great example of that. He could have just cashed it in and said, there's nothing more I can do for Christ in this life. But he saw it through to the finish line. What a great example. G. Walter Hansen says, the authenticity of faith in Christ can't be measured only by the intensity of your initial decision to receive Christ. See, receiving Christ is what? It's a lifetime adventure. The race keeps going. The race doesn't stop. If you're in Philippians chapter 3, we're going to begin reading in verse 12. Philippians 3:12. Paul says this. Not that I have all... I'm reading out of the New American Standard. Your version might be a little bit different, but you'll get the idea. Not that I have already obtained it, we're going to have to figure out what it is in just a minute, or that I've already become perfect, but I press on. Say press on. I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. Again, we need to define it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on, say press on, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As you read that text, the first question you have to ask yourself, as I mentioned, is what's the it that Paul is referring to when he says, not that I've obtained it yet. If you flip back in your Bible to verse 10, he tells us. He says that I may know him, Jesus. That I may know Jesus. and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. In other words, that I may know who Christ really is in his fullness. And then he adds, being conformed to his death. Paul is saying in that text, he doesn't fully know Jesus yet. I've not obtained this yet. And then he says, until I'm conformed to his death, the death of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, speaks of his mission. And Paul is saying, my mission isn't complete yet. I haven't obtained the fullness of my purpose yet. There's more for me in this life. See, Paul says the focus of the race is knowing Jesus and making him known to other people. That's the focus of the race. Then he says, not that I've already become perfect. Now he's talking about character. See, perfect means meeting the highest standard of goodness and virtue. Perfect means being mature, being fully grown, being fully developed in a moral sense. And Paul, one of the greatest Christian leaders, one of the most mature Christian leaders ever to walk the earth, someone who knew Christ better than most all of us, says this, I haven't arrived. I haven't obtained it yet. I don't fully know Jesus, and I haven't fully accomplished his mission. The Apostle Paul says, I have room to grow. What about you? Put your hand up this morning if you could say, yeah, I've got a little room. I could know him better. I could serve him better. I could follow his purpose better. One of the most mature and mission-minded Christians to ever walk the earth said, I haven't obtained it yet, nor have I become perfect, nor is my character where it should be. Paul said he hasn't finished the race yet. He hasn't reached the finish line in terms of his knowledge of God, in terms of his purpose, and in terms of his character, those three things. He hasn't arrived. So Paul is saying every day he runs the race to make progress in those three areas: knowing Jesus better, accomplishing his purpose to a greater degree, and having his character formed more fully in Christ. Again, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, this one thing I do, and that always really confused me when I read that verse, because he says, this one thing I do, and then he lists three things that he does, right? This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. The one thing that he's talking about is pressing on. He says it twice. That phrase means to move decisively toward an object, to pour your energy into a focus and a direction. In this case, Paul's talking about the finish line. I press on. I move decisively toward the finish line. The one thing Paul is continually doing is running toward the finish line, even when it's hard, even when life is difficult. Do you remember where Paul is as he writes this letter? He's in prison, not the best of circumstances. So whether life is good or whether life is bad, Paul says, I press on. He stays in the race. He runs it every day. Interesting that the phrase there, the verb diako, which is the word for press on, is in the present tense, which means it's continuous, which you could actually translate it this way. I press on and I keep pressing on. I press on and I keep pressing on. I don't stop pressing on. That's my lifestyle. I press on no matter what's happening in my life, and I keep pressing on toward the finish line. See, following Jesus isn't some cool fad. It's not something you do when life's convenient. Following Jesus is not something that you do just when it's culturally acceptable, it's popular. Following Jesus is not something you do to get out of your problems or to make your life easier. It's not something you hide from other people, and it's not something you do only when you feel like it. There will be 50-some people tonight standing up here giving their testimony, and I just want to preach this message to them. That when you decide to follow Jesus Christ and publicly acknowledge him, this is a lifelong commitment, amen? There's no turning back. I've decided to follow Jesus. And man, you're on a race now, and the race is run every day. There's no quitting. Paul says, you, no matter what life throws at you in Christ, you press on and keep pressing on. You move forward, you strain toward the finish line, and you keep running the race to the best of your ability. Every race has a moment other than a short sprint. In any race that has any kind of distance at all, there's a moment that you hit the wall and you want to quit. I'm looking around and I'm seeing runners, I'm seeing athletes here, and you know what I'm talking about. There's a moment when your lungs don't feel like they can take one more breath, your legs don't feel like they can take one more step. You hit the wall and you don't think you can do this anymore, and the same is true in life. When life hits you hard, unexpectedly, and you don't think you can go on. Life takes a turn and it's like, you know, I don't know about all this God stuff. And it's in that moment that Paul shouts to us as the church, what? Two words. Press on. I press on. I keep running with the strength that Jesus provides. So the one thing that he says he does is he presses on. Then in the verse, he tells us how he presses on. So the first thing he tells us, if you're taking notes, is he ignores the past, forgetting what lies behind. Brethren, I don't regard myself as already having laid hold of it. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Say, forgetting what lies behind. Forgetting what lies behind. The word picture is of the runner looking behind him during the race to see where the other runners are. He's looking to see the progress he's made. He's looking to assess his situation in the race based on what's behind him. The best translation of that word is really not forgetting. You're not forgetting what's behind you. You're ignoring it. Paul says, ignoring what's happening behind me, I reach forward toward the finish line. Paul has already identified three deficiencies in his spiritual life. If you're taking notes, let me repeat those for you. The first is this. He says his knowledge is incomplete. There's more for him to learn about Jesus. Think about the guy that wrote over half of the New Testament saying, there's way more that I could learn about Jesus. I've not arrived as it comes to knowing him. We never fully know Jesus in this life. It's a lifelong process. Paul is saying you're going to keep learning and keep growing in your knowledge of God. The second thing he says is his character is unformed. He still needs to be more like Jesus. He's not yet perfect. Paul says, I don't yet love like Jesus loves. I don't yet serve like Jesus serves. I don't give like Jesus gives. I don't pray like Jesus prayed. I don't control my anger like Jesus controlled his anger. I don't avoid temptation to sin like Jesus avoided temptation to sin. I don't handle pressure like Jesus did. I don't show patience like Jesus did. I'm not as kind as Jesus was. I'm not as compassionate as he was. My character isn't fully formed. There are areas I need to be more like Jesus. How many of you could say that's true for me as well? I haven't arrived. Not only do I not know him, but my character is unformed. And the third thing he says is his purpose is unfinished. There's more God wants to do through him. In other words, there's more people to reach for Christ. There's people in your oikos that don't know Jesus. Your mission is not finished yet. Because these areas in Paul's life are incomplete, he says, I press on, I run the race until I get to the finish line, either when Christ returns or I die physically. G. Walter Hansen says this, rather than causing him to give up and quit, Paul's sense of incompleteness with his life compels him to press on. Don't get frustrated with where you are in God. Let that compel you to continue to grow into more of the fullness of what God has for you. He's saying to ignore the past means we're not satisfied with past accomplishments. We ignore them. Every day, Paul refused to be content with where he was spiritually. He didn't rest on the current knowledge that he had about God. He didn't rest on his current character, or he didn't rest on the progress that he's made so far. He ignored those things. As I've observed great athletes, and I'm a basketball guy, so I tend to lean toward basketball, but two of the guys that really demonstrated this for me are Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Michael Jordan won 6 NBA championships, Kobe Bryant won 5. And every year after those guys won a championship, they didn't come to camp saying, I won a championship. I don't really need to work much harder. I'm at the top of my game. You know what those guys did? They ignored the past. They came into camp every year saying, there's more room for me to grow. I can become a better shooter. I can become a better defender. I can become a better rebounder. There's something in my game that can get better. That's why they continued to win championships. There's other guys that may have been a part of a championship team that just said, I'm kind of here. I don't need to work that much more. And that wasn't Paul's attitude. Paul ran the race every day as though he had no knowledge, no character, and hadn't made any progress in his mission. He was desperate every day to learn to be more like Jesus and to see more people saved every day. This is one of the greatest Christian leaders ever, says, I ignore the past, the accomplishments, how much further I am in front of other people. Notice he didn't compare himself to people. It was his race, not someone else's race. Paul doesn't say, I've run enough races, I don't have to compete anymore, or it's too hard, I'm going to quit. He pressed on to grow in knowledge, to grow in character, and to fulfill his mission. He ignored what was behind him. He said, I can't take a day off. Every day is new. The Chicago Bears cornerback Kevin Tolliver came out of Louisiana State University. I was reading an article about him, and as a rookie, we'll go ahead and throw his picture up there. As a rookie, this is what he said. He said, I learned to always be on my A game every snap. I learned coming into the league that I can't take a play off. And then this quote that really caught my attention. You just got to be 100% in every play. Like, this is football. Who cares about football? What about life? What about following Jesus Christ? What if that, put it back up, what if that was our motto? You just got to be 100% in every play. Every day you keep running the race, and you're all in for God. We run God's race every day. The second thing he says, not only do we ignore the past, but we have to focus on the goal, the finish line. Brethren, I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching or straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal. Again, the picture here is of a runner focusing his energy on the finish line, looking ahead, not being concerned with what's happened in the past, but looking forward. He leans forward in his race, directing his energy to the finish line. Now, I want you to look at this slide of these runners. This is a hurdles race, so that's a shorter race, but I want you to notice where they're ending up. They're posturing their body forward. They're leaning forward. All of their energy is forward. Oftentimes, you'll see a sprint or a race like this, and when it gets to the finish line, men or women in the race, they'll tumble forward. They'll fall on their face. Why? Because they're leaning into the finish. That's the exact picture that Paul is giving us here. To reach or strain forward literally means exerting the utmost energy forward. It means staying focused, keeping your head in the race, your head in the game, and running to win. You know, my experience as a coach, there's players that play the game and there's players that play to win. And you can see the difference in an attitude. The one that plays to win does all the little things extra. I mean, he is focused on the finish line. He is focused on the goal. Paul says, when you run this race every day, run to win. That's your attitude. In fact, he says this in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Don't you know that everyone who runs in a race, they all run, but only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. Your spiritual life, man, you're running this thing to win. You're running this thing to get ahead, to know Jesus more, to develop your character more, and to pursue his mission more. Every day we're supposed to refocus on the race, knowing Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and seeing people saved, reaching toward the finish line. Ask yourself every morning, am I even running this race? Am I all in, 100%? See, the problem is life is full of distractions, and Satan is doing everything he can in your life to exhaust you, to frustrate you, and to distract you away from spiritual things. He wants you so tired that you just want to stop running. He wants you so frustrated that you just want to quit on God. And he wants you so distracted with everything else in life that you forget there's even a spiritual race. Friends, do you know what happens? We get so consumed with everything else in life, we are running six different races and not God's race. And Satan knows when he's got you running different races than the race God wants you to run, he's got you. So that's why Paul says every day, I ignore the past, I look forward. Everything in me looks to the finish line, the goal of God, the race that God has for my life. How am I doing in that race? Friends, can I encourage you to get up every morning and say, you know what? I do have a lot of races I'm running. I've got the work race. I've got the family race. I've got all these other races, the physical conditioning race, whatever you're doing. Don't ignore the race that God has you in, the spiritual race. The race that Paul says is about knowing Jesus better, developing the character of Christ more fully in your life, and being about his mission. That's the race that Paul is concerned about. And it's in the midst of being tired and frustrated and distracted by all of these other races that Paul's words ring more clearly than ever. He says what? Two words. Press on. When you're tired, when you're distracted, press on. Stay focused on the real goal in life, the real finish line. As I close this morning, Paul knew that he wasn't going to finish the race the day that he wrote this. He knew there was more to the race, but he was committed to making progress. How about you? Every day do you get up in the morning saying, you know, my goal is to make some progress spiritually in this area, refusing to quit. But I want to say this, the motivation for pressing on and running the race, the Christian life, doesn't come from us. It comes from God. It's not something we try to stir up. I just need to run hard today. It comes internally from Jesus Christ. I want to go back to the verse we haven't covered. Verse 12, Paul says this, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by whom? By whom? Paul says, I stay in this race. I continue to try to obtain the goal because Jesus got a hold of me. Man, this isn't something you have to do on your own. See, no one is born. We're not born into this world with the desire to know Jesus and have his character formed in us and to do his mission. We're not born with that. We're born with a desire to run our own race. We're born with a desire to do life the way we want to do it. It's not natural to get up in the morning apart from Christ and say, I want to love Jesus today. No, Jesus got a hold of Paul, and because Jesus had a hold of Paul, Paul wanted everything to do with Jesus. It's not the other way around. This motivation to run the race is internal, not external. See, you were recruited. You didn't even know it. You didn't even know you were that good of an athlete. Jesus, as your coach, was recruiting you. He saw you, and he wanted you to be a part of his team. He wanted to incorporate you into the race. You were recruited, you were motivated to join the team, and now Jesus continually coaches you. The desire to run this race begins and ends with Jesus Christ, not with you and me. Every day, Jesus is instilling in us the desire to run the race, and all we need to do is respond to his coaching. So I gave you that picture of my wife with one of her girls running around the track and Charlene on the infield, running around, cheering, clapping, motivating, screaming, telling her she can do that. If you're a Christ follower, that's what Jesus does in your life every day. Coaching you, motivating you, inspiring you. You don't have to try to muster up some enthusiasm to run the race, man. The greater one in you is inspiring you to run hard. All you got to do is respond to his coaching. You just got to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit who says, press on, you can do this, man. Come on, you got this. Philippians 2:13 says this, for God, who? Say it again. God is working in you, giving you the desire. Say desire. That's the want to. Where does this come from? God is at work in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Man, you're running this race because of Christ in you. And every day he gives you the want to and the power to run one more leg of the race, one more step. So as Christians, what does that mean? It means we don't have an excuse. No excuse for not running the race. Man, you've got the greatest coach in the world cheering you on every day, motivating you and inspiring you to keep running. He's coaching you, he's inspiring you, and he's telling you to press on. He's telling you to ignore what's behind, reach forward to what lies ahead, to keep running and don't quit. So what is God telling you about your race today? What's God saying about your race? Is there something in your life right now that you're ready to quit, but God doesn't want you to quit? You're ready to give up? God doesn't want you to give up. Is there anything in your life like that? Is God saying to you today, press on, press through, push through, let's keep going in this? I don't know. I want to ask you a couple questions as you think through your response to what God is saying about this spiritual race. Let me say this. Some of you, you're not in this race yet. You're not alive spiritually. You're dead spiritually because you haven't come to know Jesus Christ yet. But he's recruiting you today. He's calling out for you today to join his team. And around here we say a relationship with God is as easy as ABC. A, you have to admit that you've sinned against God. You've broken his law because you violated God's moral law. You stand condemned before him with no way to change your condition. But B, you have to believe in Jesus Christ that he was God in the flesh. He was God's son. He came to the earth. He lived a sinless life and he died a criminal's death to take your sin on himself on the cross. You believe in Jesus. And C, you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the leader. You confess that he's God and you submit to him and you ask him to forgive you of your sin. You can make that decision today and join the race that we're in. Some of you have just stopped running the race. You're running every other race except the race that God wants you to run. Today's the day to get back in the race, maybe. Maybe there's something you're about to quit on, and God's saying, press on, push through. What's one step that you could take to learn more about Christ, to develop your character more, or to pursue his mission more? Is there anything you could do that comes to mind? And if you're here this morning, and you know there's something missing in your life, you've never entered into a personal relationship with Christ, today you can do that. And I want to invite you. I want to have everybody just bow your heads. And if that's you today, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this prayer in your heart, in your own words. Just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've broken your law, and I know I stand condemned. But I believe in Jesus Christ today, that he took my place. Lord, would you forgive my sin because of what Christ did? Would you give me the Holy Spirit? Would you save me? I know you're knocking on the door of my heart, and so, Lord, today I'm letting you in. Would you come and lead my life? Be my Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, for those that needed to hear the words today, press on. Run the race. Would you let that sink in this week? In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord Jesus Christ today strengthen you to run your race with perseverance. May you strain forward each day and lean into the finish line that God has for you. May you refuse to give up, but may you press on with God's purpose every day. And may you discover the joy that comes with actually crossing the finish line. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tonight.